as we open our Bibles, as we look to your word, and as we look to understand what you would say to us this morning. We pray that we would hear from you, Holy Spirit, as you make known the things of Christ and of God our Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, here's a question. What is the gospel? It's been said here before. I think it comes up again. I think the Lord would treat it slightly differently this morning than if you've heard the same question posed to you on another Sunday. What is the gospel? And is it a formula for knowing the right information? Is the gospel a story about Jesus by Matthew or Mark or Luke or John? What is the good news specifically? If gospel means good news, what is that good news? So this fellow, who you may or may not know, named Leon Morris, he's a Bible college principal, and he's the editor of the New International Bible Commentary on the New Testament. So they trusted him with a pretty decent bit of work there. He said this, really, to understand the gospel and accept it means a change in one's whole life. Do you think that's a fair statement? So we are in the book of Romans. So if you open a Bible that you brought with you, or if you get a Bible just at the end of a row where you're sitting, or if you look at the row across from you, there's maybe a Bible at the end of that row, on page 1131, you find Romans chapter 1. We've been going through it already. We've been dealing with what you would call the salutation of Paul in the letter. Hi, everybody. Hello, Rome. Oh, I wish I could be there. Here's who I am. I know you're over there. I've heard about you guys. Your faith is proclaimed throughout the world, Paul says. But look what he says beginning at verse 11 of chapter 1. Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And we talked about that last week. We talked about it this morning, though, didn't we, in the life of a few people here in this congregation and somebody from somewhere else who now we know David. We pray for David, 16 years old, and telling people in coffee shops or wherever about their faith. Isn't that wonderful? Do you remember when you were like that, when you became a Christian, when you were new at this stuff, and you thought, oh, I must tell somebody? Has that happened to you yet? Because here's the thing, and the Bible's talking about it. Paul's like, I can't wait to get there. I've heard about your faith, but I can't wait to be there to impart some spiritual gift. Believers already known for their faith, and Paul wants to get there and give them something that's going to add to. Are you a believer who has faith, faith that people already know about? And would you receive from the Lord more, something else that would add to and encourage you in your faith? Because Paul talks about this. Now he says this little, it's kind of in parentheses almost. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. I've often intended to come to you, because he's never been to Rome yet. Thus far, I've been prevented. In order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. What is a harvest? I've heard about your faith. So what's he going to harvest? I thought harvest was, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Send laborers out, O Lord, into the harvest so that people would become believers. That's what I figured the harvest was. But Paul's talking to believers. I want to come to you that I may have some harvest among you. So the gatherers, believers in Rome, Paul wants to go and meet and see more broad. Isn't that important? Do you see that? Is it relevant to us in Alva? He said, I'm under obligation to both Greeks and barbarians. If I may go out on a limb and just propose to you, in the context of how they would have used those words in those days, it means those of you with like a uni education and those of you who are just plain old blue collar. I think I could say that. It's a bit of an interpretation. You don't have to accept what I think it means. You may have another idea. Greek culture versus non-Greek culture. It's the Roman Empire, but Greek culture runs the Roman Empire. It's the logic of Plato and Aristotle. It's the people who have said, oh, I'm so glad Socrates came here, and then his student, and then his student, so that now we're all thinking thoughts. You know, systematized thought is how they prided themselves in being a civilized culture. And then barbarians, it really just speaks of people who speak those languages we don't know yet, who don't think like we think. And they were like the Western world has an arrogance about the rest of the world. Wrongly, we would agree. We all say fair trade and third world, but it's not third world. It's most of the world. It's the developing world. And then there's where the bankers live. And we call that the Western world. And we act like we're also civilized. But I don't know if you watch TV lately. We're losing it. Right? This world we live in that is so bright and so lovely has a cavity and a tooth. And I don't know about you, but when you bite down on a cavity, boy, it's smart. And it'll hold itself together until the day it cracks. Do you understand this? We're not better than others. We're needing help ourselves. And Paul says to those believers in Rome, I hear about you, but you need help. I hear about you, but I want to bring something. And we here in this room, we must not insulate ourselves against that thought. Receive something today from God. Hear him in these words. Paul longs to get there. He says in verse 15, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. What is this gospel? And why is Paul eager to get to people who already have faith that's heard about throughout the world? Why is he eager to get there and preach this gospel? If you're already saved, what do you need the gospel for? What is the gospel? See, if you think the gospel is Jesus died for your sin and rose again, you're done. Now you're a Christian. Here's your ticket. Sit down in that pew. That's officially your pew, and the generations that follow you will identify that pew. Just make sure you come on Sunday. We're missing it. Paul says to believers, I got to get there to you people. You need something. It's the gospel for believers. Hear it. And look what he says. Verse 16 and 17 are critical to us in Alva today. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, to the religious and also to the thinker and the philosopher. In it, this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith, for faith. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I have that memorized in King James. The just shall live by faith.